So we, being Psalm 119 again today, verse 1, probably be there next week. Just so much in this little section that just can't get it all out. So I was looking at some of you guys' Halloween costumes, and obviously we have the man here. And Audrey and Gracie and Zoe, you guys, we were looking at obviously our grandkids' Halloween costumes. The ninja, that was awesome. The pirate. There's some pretty intricate, amazing costumes going on these days. Creative things. And I couldn't help but remember when we were kids, you know, we would buy this cheap little nylon thing. We would pull over and put our arms in this plastic little mask thing and go around our head. And you know, we thought we were pretty cool. But you guys, these days, man, you guys are doing some pretty amazing costumes and things. Not only that, the pumpkin carving is to a whole new level these days. I mean, in our family, we are the best, right? We are the best, yeah. Jeremy kept sending us pictures last night. He's, you know, trying to really be this artist, doing these crazy things. But our girls, man, they, and boys, they can flat carve a pumpkin. I mean, it's not just like, you know, I mean, that's cool. I like that. But remember, it's just like triangle eyes and, a kind of a nose and a couple teeth like that. I mean, used to be, right? But now it's like, you know, oh yeah, it is. It's artwork. And I thought, man, as things, you know, just in Halloween, as things ramped up quite a bit. Went by a house last night that had a Halloween party going on with the complete with the big blow-up jump house and tents and lights and everything going on. I mean, things have really upped itself a notch. And I love it. I love Halloween. I love this. This is amazing. I love this. But Halloween has, you know, and I'm not one that's all about the demonic thing and all this. It has just ramped up. It's cool. I really, really like it. This, however, has not changed. This, however, is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. And it will never change. And what it tells us and teaches us about our life and about God will never change. This is the truth. Always has been, always will be. And so we're blessed. Whereas things around us change all the time, this is an anchor and a rock for us, and it is the truth. That's where I want to go today. Psalm 119, verse 1. I'm going to read this section to you again called Aleph. We talked about it last week, the Hebrew letter Aleph. We'll come back to it next week. But this is the Hebrew letter Aleph. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in His ways. You have commanded Your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping Your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all Your commandments. I will praise You with an upright heart when I learn Your righteous rules. I will keep Your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. We talked really about the first two or three verses last week. We mentioned, and I brought out, the difference between the way and the walk. The way is a path. That's what that word means. So it says, blessed are those whose way or whose path is blameless, who then walk in that path in the law of the Lord. And the word blameless in verse 1, it is blameless because it is entire, it is complete. Blessed is the one whose path you have chosen is complete in the Lord, complete in God. Every corner of your life, every decision, every part, everything, it is complete. It is blameless. You've given everything to the Lord, to His Word. You follow Him completely. And you walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, but seek Him, who seek Him with their whole heart. And there's a difference between the word keep, keeping His testimonies, the Word of God, keeping the Word of God, and seeking Him. Big difference between keeping and seeking. Keeping, I keep, I cherish, I hold, I guard, I watch, I hedge about, I protect. And certainly we have to do that today with the Word of God. I mean, people wanting to change it and say it doesn't mean this and do this. Well, that's not true today. So we do. We're keeping the Word of God here. But seeking Him is a little bit different. They're certainly connected. Seeking God and keeping His testimonies go hand in hand. But understand that it's just not about obeying the Word of God. We're really talking about so much more. When you're in the Word of God, you are seeking Him. It's like He's alive, and He is. So we are seeking Him with our whole heart. Verse 3, and you could say, blessed are those. It's not in here, it's just who. And you can see that the first two verses have that. Blessed are those who also do no wrong, but walk in His ways. Blessed are those. The do no wrong is injustice. Blessed are those who do no injustice, but they move in His ways. So understand, as our culture talks a lot about justice and injustice today, there is no injustice. There is no injustice in God's ways. There is no injustice in God's ways. If our culture and society is looking for justice, they will find it here. There is no injustice in God's ways. None. What He says is totally just, completely right. And if we walk in His ways, we won't do injustice. So that's pretty simple. That simplifies a lot of muddy water going on out there in our culture, even in our churches, in our streets. Wherever you're at, there's a lot of muddy water going on. What is justice? For you and I, it's actually a fairly simple pursuit. It's just right here in the Word of God. There is no injustice in God and His Word. Stay right there. Stay right there. What I would like you to see this morning, I want us to just notice just for a minute that the word way. Blessed are those whose way, whose path, the path you take. It seems to wobble back and forth a little bit. In verse 1, whose way. Blessed are those whose way, whose path, the path you take. Blessed are those who take a way that is entirely given to God. And then we move down and it's like in verse 3, who do no wrong but walk in His ways. So, I mean, this idea of the way in verse 5, oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. So there's a little bit of the author here seems to move back and forth between my way being completely His, and then I do no wrong and I walk in His ways, and then in verse 5, that my ways might be steadfast. We'll come to that verse next week, but my ways and His ways are interconnected and seem to overlap sometimes in the Word of God. I choose my ways based on His ways, is really what He's saying. I've taken my paths and I've put them in His paths according to the Word of God. So my path becomes His path, or His path becomes my path. So many times you and I have decisions to make in this life, and there are ways I can take. Or there's a way that is His way, and I can put my way into His way. There are situations that you and I face in every area of our life. Work, family, whatever. There are situations every day coming into our life, and I have to choose a way, a path to approach it. How am I going to approach this situation? And so I take my way and I make it His way. My ways become His ways. And that's what this author is trying to say. When my ways is completely His, and His way becomes my way, I walk in His statutes in my way. The way I choose is according to His statutes. I'll do no wrong when I'm in His ways, and I'm in the Lord's ways. You will do no injustice. You'll do no injustice if you find your way fitting and walking right in God's ways. That's not always easy, is it? I mean, you know, when we face situations, there's an easy way and there's a hard way, right? And sometimes God's way seems to be the harder way. So I'm not saying that this is really, really easy and simple and cut and dry. It is, but it isn't easy always. I mean, the easy thing to do is, but God's way says, and so I have to take my ways and put them in God's ways. So there's no injustice. There's no injustice. That's what he's saying here in these first three verses. That's why he's kind of back and forth. His ways, my ways, God's ways. You'll do no wrong when your ways fit in His ways. And it's all according to the Word of God. It's all according to the Word of God. All these kind of synonyms for the Word of God. Testimonies, precepts, statutes, commandments. He's just, it's a poetical thing, and he's saying the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. Put your path completely in the Word of God. Choose the path of God and walk in it. Secondly, and very important, this is kind of the direction I'm going. So many times you and I are taught or led to believe that the Old Testament is really all about rules. It's really all about commandments. Do this, don't do that. It's kind of like a parent, isn't it, Zoe? Do this, don't do that, don't do this. It's kind of parental. It's like all about obey. It's all about judgments. It's all about do, don't, do, don't. The Old Testament, it's just about rules and commandments. But look at this, look at these phrases right here. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. See, they understood in the Old Testament that it wasn't just about keeping rules. It wasn't just about statutes and obeying, and you're going to get judged and punished. It was so much deeper than that. So many times in the prophets, he would tell them, look, I really don't want sacrifices and bulls and rams. I want your heart. I want you to seek me. I want you to love me. I want you to learn about me. The great New Testament commandments, those two greatest ones, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That fulfills all the Old Testament commandments, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love God. That's right out of Deuteronomy. You see, the Bible is two things. There's two things to being a believer and to walking in the faith. It's the Word of God. It's I surrender my path to His, and I love Him. I see Him and I love Him. I recognize who He is and what He's done and what He's about, and I love my Savior Jesus Christ. And there is nothing in my life or path I won't put into His path, because He loves me and I love Him. It's always been that way. From Genesis to Revelation, it has always been that way. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And those two have always been interlocked from day one in the Scriptures. The Old Testament is not just about obey, 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 obey. Command, 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 judgment, judgment. That is not the Old Testament. It is about love me. See who I am. Look at me. Seek me with your whole heart. And if you do, then obey me. If you accept Jesus as your Savior, that is what you're saying. I understand what you've done for me. I understand the cross. I love you. And I will put my whole way, my path now is your path. Everything about my life is yours. That is salvation. That is salvation. Jesus taught that, by the way. It's all through the Bible. All through the Bible. Jesus taught that. And sometimes we don't always quite see it. But if you would turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 10, I will show you a very interesting thing that happened to Jesus. And we can ask a couple questions about why and draw some really interesting, relevant conclusions in Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Mark chapter 17, for those of you that are even remotely familiar with your Bible, Mark 10, 17 is about this rich young man, ruler, some say, rich young guy that came running up to Jesus. Jesus had begun a journey, and this man comes running up to Jesus, drops to his knees, and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to be saved?" Right? So let's read it. Understand, this is salvation. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And he was setting out, Jesus was setting out on his journey. A man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" We are talking about salvation. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how difficult it is to enter the kingdom of God." The discussion is about what must I do to inherit eternal life. The quick answer for so many churches, leaders, people, just believe in Jesus. That is not what happened here. That is not what happened. Here's a man who sees him, who falls on his knees. What must I do to inherit eternal life? You can almost hear the desperation in his voice. What must I do? And Jesus says something really interesting, I think. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. The young man confessed, since I've been a youth, I've been keeping these commands. So he apparently has a background, a history of church, of understanding something about religion, about Jesus. From a youth, I've been walking in these commands for a long, long time. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Sell everything you have and give it to the poor and follow me. The question, why did Jesus make it so difficult? Why did Jesus make it so difficult? Man, what an opportunity lost there, huh? What an opportunity. A potential follower. You know what I could think of? What if Jesus would have said this? It's a rich guy. What if he says, go build a school for these kids? We have so many kids running around this area. Go build them a school for these kids and I will bless you and welcome you into heaven. Go build a school. What if he had said, you know, the hospital around here is really kind of broken down. Why don't you go build a new wing in the hospital? And man, St. Peter will welcome you into heaven, right? The guy would have maybe done that. I could see this guy doing that. That ain't what he said, is it? He said, sell everything you have. Then give it to the poor. There's no pats on the back coming back here. No recognition coming back here. Sell every drop that you have. Give that to the poor. They can't pay you back. And then come and follow me, the teacher, the Savior, who has nowhere to lay his head. The homeless Savior. Come follow me. You do know I'm homeless, right? I mean, come on. That's tough. That's a difficult road. And Jesus says that twice. How difficult it is. And we say, well, this is about money. This is about wealth. And it is. But it's also much deeper than that. Because Jesus went almost what you would say maybe over the edge here, really. I mean, it wasn't about make a big donation. I can see so many pastors welcoming this guy in the door with his bank account going, we will find a place for you. We will find something for you. I'm going to make this fit. And Jesus, it's almost like he's trying to make it not fit. I mean, he's really pushing him over the edge here. He's bringing him to a point of decision, and there's really no decision, is there? I mean, what must I do? Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor and come and follow me. Jesus put it right back in his court. Here it is. Here's what you do. And the man, he's the one who would make the decision. No way. No way. And you see, Jesus knew where his heart really was at, didn't he? Jesus was, I like this passage. I love what it says here. Did you see this? This is so good for us. This is so good for us. Verse 21, Jesus, looking at him, he looked right at him. And he loved him. And he said, you lack one thing. I mean, that's just it right there. I mean, just face to face, looking at this guy. Is there any question? Anybody here think maybe Jesus didn't really love this guy? He loved this guy. What were you thinking, Jesus? You love this guy. You know what he's going to do when you say this. He looked at him. He loved him. And he said, you lack one thing. And it's big. It's called your heart. It's called, I know where your heart's really at. And when Jesus looked at this fella, he just wasn't looking at the good-looking clothing he had on or the stallion he rode up on. He was looking inside this guy who had kept the commandments since he was a kid. Because those two, the heart and the Word of God, are never separated. They go hand in hand. We must love Him and keep His commandments. Good teacher, why do you call me good? That's a $1 million question today. That is the $1 million question in American churches today. Write that down. Remember it. Ask it. Why do you call Jesus good? Anyone who says to you, I'm a believer, why do you call Jesus good? Why is he good? Good teacher, what must I do to be saved? Jesus looked at him. Jesus loved him absolutely, positively. And he looked right into his heart and he said, there's one thing missing, and it's your heart. It's what you trust in. It's what you love. It's what really, really, really is the foundation of who you are. I'm looking into your heart and I'm just saying, you're lacking one thing. And let me give you an opportunity to give me your heart. Yeah, I know you've been a good guy all your life, haven't you? Kept all those commandments. You've been a good, good guy since you was a kid. But there's one thing missing. That's your heart. That's your heart. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Disheartened. Brokenhearted, disillusioned, sorrowful in the heart. He went away because he had a lot. He had a lot of stuff. Man, why did Jesus go so deep? Because that's where we all have to go. He would say that to any one of us here. He would look inside of any single person here and he would see in our heart what is really the wealth of our heart. It may not be money. Ching, ching. It could be a lot of things. What is really the wealth of your heart? Well, could be my freedom. Could be my freedom. I want to rule my life, or I want total control of my body. It's freedom. I want the freedom for me to be who I am. It's freedom. Maybe it's family. What's the wealth of your heart? It's family. It's my family. Man, how you just newborn babies all over this place now. Family. It's family. It's freedom. What's the wealth of your heart? The deepest wealth. That if he said, you have to put that before you can follow me, I have to come first. I have to come first. What's the most important thing in life to you? I have to come first. That's what Jesus would say. Let me put it another way. Your path has to become my path. Everything, the most important thing in your life, in your way, has to come into my path. Everything. What's the absolute most important, most treasured thing in your life? And it may not be money, may not be stuff, it may be an ideal, a philosophy, like your freedom, your autonomy over you, over your family, over your body, over whatever. Jesus says, I have to come first. Are you willing to put it in my path? Blessed are those who put the very most important treasured thing in your life, surrender it to my path. Sell it. Give it away. And come and follow me. Come and follow me. And you'll have treasure in heaven. That's for every single person in this room. Every single person in this room. And the question then is asked, why do you call me good? Why does anyone in any church today, in any place, call Jesus good? Why? There was crickets when he said that. Why do you call me good? Crickets, you can hear them. I'll ask us that. This is a simple group. I love this family with all my heart. I believe in you. Why do you call Jesus good? He's helpful. He's nice. He's moral. He'll keep you out of trouble. He's wholesome. There's one reason Jesus is good, and that's because He loves us more than anybody or anything. He died on the cross. He came from His home in heaven, and it was cushy. He came here and walked this in these streets to die for you and I so that we could know Him and seek Him and love Him and be with Him for all eternity. And there is no one I want to know or be close to or love or spend eternity with. There is nothing on this planet that compares to how badly I love and want to be with Jesus. Because He is my treasure. There is no value. There is no treasure on this planet that compares to Him. He is the treasure. Why do you call me good? Because there is no one like you that loves me, Jesus. There is no one who would die for me so I can be with you. There is no one who would sacrifice everything you've sacrificed for me just so I could seek you. There is no one like you, Jesus. If He'd have said that, and Jesus said, go sell everything you have and give it to the poor, He just said, I'll be right back. Give me 30 minutes. I'm going into town. I'm going to sign off and I'll follow you. Jesus already knew the answer. It's not about, if you're going to ask me, so what do I got to do? Sell everything I have? That's not what this is about. That's not what this is about. This is about Jesus looks into you and I, and He sees what is really the absolute most important foundational thing in my life. What I really trust and depend on. And He says, put your path in my path. Can I hold that? Can I hold that baby? Can I hold your freedom? Can I have autonomy over your body? Can I do with whatever I deem glorious to me with your body? Will you walk in my path? Will you put it in my path? Can I hold that? That's what He's saying. Today, in America, you are seeing something really weird going on in churches, in leadership, in our country. Because there have been so many problems and challenges, beginning with COVID, to social justice, to an election. And we are witnessing celebrity, what I call celebrity leadership. Teachers, singers, authors. We are watching them so totally move and tweak their theology to accommodate what's happening in our culture. I want to go this way with the social justice movement. I want to go this way with the social justice movement. I want to do this with COVID. I want to go that way with COVID. The election's coming. I want to vote this way. I want to vote this way. And they're taking their theology, the Word of God, and bending it to fit their heart what they really want to do with it. Here's my point. Every single one of us in this room, God will bring us to a point in our life, or many points, where it will get so challenging, the decisions will be so important, so big, so hard, that we will have to choose between what our heart really takes us to and Him. Will I put my path in Him? And we'll have to choose. And that's what he was doing with this young man. He was just bringing him to an initial salvation point. A good man who'd known the Torah, read the Bible, understood what it said all his life, but his heart wasn't there. And Jesus just loved him right away and said, I'm going to give you this hard decision right now, right up front. Let's not even play games. Where's your heart? I'm going to give you a chance right now to put your heart in my path. And the man just walked away disheartened. Every single one of us, as we come to Him initially, and as we grow, or as we move down our path, He is going to put hard choices in there to bring out and show who is really in control of our life. Who is really my Savior? Okay, man, I gave my life to Christ today. Great. 5 years comes along, boom. Jesus, the hard way, my way. Wait a minute, that's my family. Wait a minute, that's my freedom. Wait a minute, that's my... I can't... And He will sift and filter our lives in His church all along the journey until we get to those who are left, who have surrendered everything to Him. And He said, those are mine. There's nothing that's come before me in their life. They have given me their heart. Blessed are those who seek Him with their whole heart. I want to look at you and I want to love you and I want to tell you right now that is the truth for every person in here. And if your biggest question is, oh, should I sell everything I have? You probably don't get it. Because it's not even a question. Yes, every drop of money of yours is His. Yes, every person in your family is His, isn't it? Yes, every bit of your freedom is His, isn't it? Yes, every decision goes through Him, isn't it? Everything, everything. Or you walk away. I kept the commandments since I was a kid. What do you want me to do? I want your heart. I want every drop of your heart. I want you to love me. I want you to look at that cross and say, I am spending eternity in hell if not for that man right there. And there is nothing I want more than that. There is no one I love more than that. There is nothing more important than that. Nothing. That's where He's taking us. That's where He's taking us. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Put everything in your path. Everything. Open your hand up and everything in your path goes in His path. And if you won't, you might fool us for a while, but He will bring you to points. He will bring you to hard, challenging decisions where you have the opportunity to go. And everyone will know. Everyone knows. We know already who's clinging on and who's let go. That's Old Testament. It's always been that way. It's always been that way. That's not just some New Testament, new thing, new Jesus thing. It's always been that way. Psalm 119, verse 7. I will praise you. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules and not before. I will praise you with an upright heart. There's so many praising God these days with a heart that's not upright, that is not surrendered, that is not His. There are so many like this young man. Good teacher, good teacher. On their knees. Good teacher, good teacher. There are so many these days walking away from the faith. Walking away from church. I ask you, isn't the local church in God's path? We have a whole New Testament. You want to talk New Testament? I got to tell you, the local church is definitely front and center. The two yellow lines down the middle of the road is the church. It's the local church. You can't walk away from the local church and tell me you're following Him, you're seeking Him with your whole heart, because He put you in the church. He wrote half the New Testament to the local church. I'm telling you, that's His way, that's His path. I will praise you with an upright heart, the right heart, with the whole heart. There it is, upright. I will praise you with an upright heart. Big difference between just singing praise songs to God and praising Him with an upright heart. I love this word praise. I looked it up. Debbie's not here. You here? You better open that door, girl. You're just coughing back there, kind of freaking everybody out. So I was just telling them this verse, I will praise you with an upright heart. Because there's an industry of music going on in our country. If you don't already know it, I'm just going to tell you, they're not all believers. They're not all right. The songs aren't all right. Many of them are there for the money. Please understand, the industry in our country is not always Christian. There are a lot of people singing praise songs about God, but they are not praising Him with an upright heart. So the word praise, if you boil it down back into its Hebrew root, it means to employ or deploy the hands. Sometimes it's used to throw a stone. It's worship with your hands deployed. Hands out, heart up. Praising Him with an upright heart. And I'm going to ask this group of people that I love and I believe in Why do you call Jesus good? Is it because all he will do for you? The benefits? Or is it because he himself is the most valued treasure you and I could ever, ever own? You ask me, well, what do you want me to get rid of? Everything. There isn't anything that even comes close to Jesus. Take it all. But give me Jesus. Blessed, blessed, blessed are those whose way is blameless, entirely his. Give it all. That's the best place you can be. Every bit of wealth in your life given to Jesus. Blessed are you. Blessed are you.